You're tuned in to 95 BFM Breakfast. We're now going to listen to a little chat I had with Alec from Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah ahead of their gig at the Power Station. Exciting stuff. I think the first question I wanted to ask you is a bit of a weird question, but where did you get the name Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the beginning, I was going up to New York for practice all the time in Midtown Manhattan, and I was driving everybody back to Brooklyn. And a friend asked us to open. This was like within the first week or two, and we were past. And I said, "Yeah, I just wanted to play shows all the time." And I said, "Yes," even though nobody was ready. But he said, "What should we call you?" And it was debatable whether or not it was going to be my name at the time. But I figured a band name was probably for the best. And we were passing graffiti. It said, clap your hands. So yeah, like giant graffiti in Brooklyn. And I was like, oh, we'll use that for now. Yeah, so that's essentially it.
Oh, that's awesome. And it stuck around.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think we all were thinking that we would just change it after that first show, but I don't know, we were too lazy to do it. And a band name, finally, I don't know, to me it doesn't really represent too much of anything.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, this one in particular is just kind of, you know, not exactly reflective of the songs, but a little bit. I get it. No.
Yeah, I think when you think of the name Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah, you think of some like real happy clappy stuff. But yeah, I think a lot of your repertoire isn't quite like that.
No, not really. But we try to find a balance. I mean, what I used to say in interviews is the name conjures up a certain like optimism in the face of like, you know, the reality of life, which is not always, you know, happy.
So when did you start making music?
I think I was 17 or 18. So around college, I guess. But I was studying music before that from the age of like 5 or 6, like classical and then jazz guitar. And so I was writing songs, but I didn't really have much faith in my voice at the time when I was a kid. But I had certain friends kind of like encourage me. I mean, I've kind of gotten where I am, like in terms of performing or anything, because of other people's encouragement. I never really had a lot of belief in myself.
Totally. I think you can hear that classical influence in some of the guitar riffs of Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And some of the late string, like the lately string arrangements and some of the vocals, I do all the vocals on the album, so a lot of the vocal, like Is This Love, the winding vocals and things like this. Yeah, I think there's some classical behind it, sort of.
Yeah, once a classical, always a classical, right?
Yeah, to a degree. And I listen to it still all the time, classical music, so.
I was expecting you to be full rock and roll by now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, any music that has a bit of depth, I'm interested in, you know.
So. Yeah, totally. You can hear that in your own music, which is really cool. Who would you say your main inspirations are when you're making music? Because to me, it doesn't sound like anything else.
I feel like I'm very passionate about a lot of different people, so... that it doesn't sound like anybody else is a nice thing. But for me, in every song, I can hear bits and pieces of some of my major influences. Like Brian Eno is a very big one for me, and he's always been. Like his earlier stuff, like from like Here Come the Warm Jets and Another Green World and things like this, his singing albums. You know, David Bowie and also his work with Brian Eno. Bob Dylan was like a huge influence for years for me. And then there are like, you know, jazz musicians who are always interesting to me, like guitarists. I liked John McLaughlin and Pat Martino and people like this. But I mean, like that doesn't really trickle in so much. I mean, Talking Heads. Yeah, a lot of stuff that Brian Eno has touched, I think, you know, John Cale, that kind of world to me was like, was very much one that I tried to not replicate, but I tried to keep in mind when I was working on songs. It's really, you know, for a songwriter, you can go in any given direction. And I remember at one point, I think it was after the second album, maybe, I built a studio in a barn behind my house. And I remember having a bit of a crisis at the moment, because I was like, I could just go in any given direction. I wish I were born into a certain region where it's like, this is the type of music that I know I'm supposed to be doing.
Wouldn't that make it easier?
Yeah, because for me, like the songwriting stuff of like Lou Reed or somebody like Bob Dylan, mixed with the kind of like this sort of like esoteric stuff of like, you know, the avant-garde, like Steve Reich, Philip Glass, these people, and Brian Eno, these are all people that are like equally important to me, you know. And I'm just like, I don't know what I want to do right now.
Where do I go? It is incredibly overwhelming. Do you feel that sense of overwhelm sometimes when you sit in the studio? But do you also feel a sense of real clarity sometimes?
Yeah, what I need from every album is to get that first song that sort of dictates the pace of the rest of it. And that means color, like, I don't know, instrumentation. I think for the first album, the first songs that I had written like completely and presented the band before we even started were songs like Over and Over Again, Upon This Tidal Wave of Young Blood. Like, I pretty much, like, everything was done there. So I knew that I wanted these like synthy counter melodies. I knew I wanted certain bass lines, whatever, things like this, and acoustic but mixed. Like, basically in the back of my mind at that time, I was trying to take the best elements of, yeah, a songwriter like Bob Dylan and mix that with the, which kind of gets you to somebody like John Cale, essentially, you know, so he's kind of a big guy for me, yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. So I guess Brian Eno would be like your dream collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, I just did a songwriting course with him this year, actually.
Did you?
I mean, online, so with like 1,000 other people, so I wasn't like, you know, unique, but it was really revelatory. I thought he was such a great speaker, and he's so positive all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing that I took away from that and what I liked the most about him is like he has that belief in himself that that has been troublesome for me a little bit.
Now, you're touring your first album, Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah, self-titled.
Yeah.
What was the story behind kind of making this album?
Well, I mean, I had been creating, I've been playing by myself in Philadelphia, just like acoustic stuff. And then I started creating more songs with like drum machine, bass synthesizers and stuff like that. I think I was listening to like Magnetic Fields is another big one for me, like Stephen Merritt from that time. I thought was doing amazing work. And so for me, I was just kind of tinkering with the idea of starting a band. I knew some people who lived in New York, who happened to play the instruments that I needed, and were really good instrumentalists too. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I had a bunch of songs that I thought were pretty cool, and I was pretty motivated to make something of it, I guess. I didn't really know what that meant, but I also was pretty uncompromising about the whole industry part of it too, which is why the independence. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't really expect people to like the album at all, which is kind of a good way to go into any artistic project. But yeah, I was surprised by any attention that it received. So
yeah, I think you'll find a lot of people really love that album.
Yeah.
Including me. Really interesting. I was reading about the kind of budget and constraints you had to work with to pull it all together. Was that difficult? Right.
Well, I think we made it for about, I was working a carpentry job, and I was working at a restaurant at the time in Philadelphia, and I fronted, I think, pretty much all of it. I think we made it for about $3,000 to $4,000 or something like this. So, I mean, like, but the reason why is because we kind of relied on, like, there was one studio where we've kind of finished the album, like, kind of the second half of it in New York and in Brooklyn. And the guy would kind of, like, open his doors when he had time. So we had these long, like, 2-month gaps or something. So the album was, like, made over the course. And we would keep playing live shows all the while. So the album was kind of made over the course of like a year, really. And I would just kind of go show up at the studio when he had an opportunity. And so he would give us like a reasonable rate for that. Yeah, I don't know.
For the optional opening hours, eh?
Yeah, it was a bizarre time, but it was cool. You know, everybody was like satisfied with what they were paid and all that. And, you know, just like anybody else, nobody thought anything of it. We were just a starting band, you know? So we were just kind of in the studio recording with an engineer.
Yeah.
Sort of seeing what stuck, that's all.
So you're coming down to New Zealand. Have you been here before?
No, never, yeah.
Never?
It's weird.
That's crazy.
I think it's really bizarre, you know? I don't know why. I feel like it's come up in conversation a number of times over the years, and then it was just like, oh, I guess we can't do it now. I don't really know why. I don't remember why. But I've always wanted to go, you know, so.
I think the main thing is it's really far away.
Yeah, that's true.
Clap your hands and say, yeah, we'll be performing at the Tuning Fork on the 11th of November. Thank you to Alec from Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah for chatting with me. You can grab your tickets from Mosh Ducks.
Lovely.
Yeah, I love Clap Your Hands and Say Yes so much.
What a lovely chat.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. They're performing their first, their debut album, self-titled, Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah, at the Tuning Fork on the 11th of November. And there's still tickets available, so go and get amongst.
Mm. Yeah. Sounds like it's going to be a really good time.
Mm-hmm. It is.
All right, you're on BFM Breakfast. Whakarongo tonu mai, stay tuned, lots more coming up.